Well, the Bible does say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. And so because he resurrected, we also will resurrect in his likeness when he comes for us. So it's a blessing to know that you're saved by the Lord's grace. If you don't know that, it's a time and high time to get right with the Lord. I reckon high time means past time. You know, Romans 13, Paul told the church there, it's high time to wake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Our complete salvation is nearer than when we believed. We're looking for the Lord to come again, and we're going to be like him when he comes again. It's a blessing to be here in the service tonight. Appreciate you being here in the service. Hope I can be a blessing to you. I know you've enjoyed the choir singing and special singing. And appreciate you being here tonight. And be sure to keep the pastor and his family in your prayer tonight, that the Lord would help them and strengthen them. I'm reading a verse here in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. You pray that the Lord will help us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. I believe the Lord wants me to try to bring a little message on this tonight and hope I can be a blessing to you. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Let us pray again. Our Father in heaven, in Jesus' blessed name, we bow in your presence, Lord, to say we love you because you first loved us. Thank you for the shedding the love of God abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Thank you for this open door we have here to try to proclaim the truth. We confess our inability and our weakness. I pray that you be pleased to touch us in a special way tonight. Unctionize us afresh tonight. Open our hearts and minds and understanding of the truth. Lord, you know the need of every heart. I pray that you'd supply the need tonight according to your riches in glory. Edify and build up the saints of God, and convict and save sinners for thy glory. Bless those that's bereaved tonight. Comfort them, we pray. In Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen.
The Bible is a book, of course, about God. And that's why Paul says here, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So in the Bible, we find the plan of God and the purpose of God written down, and the power of God demonstrated, of course, and the promise of God, and above all, the person of God. God come down in Christ. And actually, that's what the writer is referring to here. The things were written aforetime, all the way back. The Bible's all inspired of God. Of course, all the Bible's for us. All of it's not to us doctrinally, but the things are written back there for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's where we find hope and find patience and grace in the Bible. God wrote down what he wants us to know. And so God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. So Christ was the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. For that controversy grates the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached of the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received of glory. God was. 1 Timothy 3:16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for me and my Father are one. The Father and Christ, in other words, not three gods. One God in three manifestations. Ain't that a blessing? The Bible said in John 1, 14, the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The eternal Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only God the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace, redeemed man, full of truth, revealed God. He was the God-man. And so when you study the scriptures, you find out and learn from the scriptures that God will not allow the wicked to get by forever. Now, it may look like they're getting by a long time. And, you know, 100 years is a long time for you and me, but that's not very long for God. They got by over 100 years in Noah's day, the wicked did. Every thought of the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. All they thought about was wickedness, generally speaking. You know what? Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days to come the Son of Man. Seems like that the world today, all they think about is wickedness. You think it's gone as bad down as far as it can go, and next week they come up with something else to go a little bit further down. And nowadays you can't tell he's from she's, boys from girls. Sometimes I have to ask my woman, my wife at Walmart, is that a man or is that a woman? And she'll say, I don't know. You just can't hardly tell, you know. Men and women are so perverted today that it's pitiful. I preach on that at least once a day. Because you know what? There's a bunch of sodomites are out after your children and your grandchildren. They want to pervert the whole society. Worse than that, they want you to accept it and agree with them. Well, you know what I tell them? I tell them I don't agree with it now. God never did agree with it. The Bible's against it. The Holy Ghost is against it. I'm against it. If you're a side, you're against it. God made Adam and Eve, and they became one. And it's God's will for a man to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And she's supposed to be a female. Who ever heard of a man marrying a man? Who ever heard of a woman marrying a woman until this perverted society? As it was in the days of Lot. They got by a long time in Noah's day. Oh, they didn't really think the flood was coming, but it was coming. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Long-suffering God waited. In other words, God waited and waited and waited until Noah got the ark finished. But listen, finally judgment came. You know what? This Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't get by with sin. You need to get rid of your sin. And you can get rid of your sin if you come to the cross by faith and acknowledge you're a sinner, take the blame for being a sinner. That's what repentance is. You taking the blame with a broken heart. It's your fault and my fault that we are sinners. Sinners in our person, sinners in our practice, sinners by choice. We're just sinners. And now, if we're saved, we're saved from our sins. And we can look around and see what's going on today. And as you read the scriptures are for our learning. Thank God for His Word. Now, let me thank God that we live in a country that was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And thank God we still have the Bible that's been preserved for us. And they haven't took it away from us yet and burned it up yet. That's why I thank God the word's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And we rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. If it wasn't for the word of God, you couldn't even get saved. And you wouldn't know what you had if you didn't have the Bible. You're written in the Bible what you have in Christ. So that's a blessing, ain't it? That's why you need to go to a Bible preaching, teaching, practicing church that believes the right Bible. That is the authorized version. Somebody said to me a while back, said, well, King James is a wicked man. I said, all men are wicked men. That didn't mean King James is a Christian because it's called the King James Bible. That just means he is the King of England and authorized the Bible to be put in print. He was in charge. I've been told and read that he's a pervert. I don't know about that. But I do know that he authorized the Bible to be translated in our language. And we can have it for the English-speaking people. And God can use wicked men to redound to his glory. He's going to get glory. I'm going to slow down right here and tell you. God's going to get glory in whatever you do. Now, if you repent and believe the gospel and get saved by grace through faith, that'll glorify the goodness and the grace of God. And if you go on in your sins and God has to send you to hell, that'll glorify the justice of God. Whatever you do, God's going to get glory. He don't get any pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he gets glory in whatever he does. Amen. You want me to say that again? Because you know a lot of people don't believe that nowadays. All they've heard is a general love message from the God that loves everybody. And I believe that God genuinely loves everybody. God showed that when Christ died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus Christ paid the ransom price, according to 1 Timothy 2:4. He paid the ransom price for the first Adam's sin. So the ransom price has been paid. That don't mean everybody's going to get saved, but that means Christ paid the price for the first Adam's sin. And God's satisfied with the price Christ paid. He's done the reconciling work, but it won't do you any good until it's appropriated to you by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the only thing that will connect you with God is faith. And God must give you faith for hearing his word. I've got to say that every night. Faith is a gift of God. You can't muster up faith. With the last 60 years in America, preachers have been preaching that everybody has faith and all they need to do is believe. You don't have any saving faith. I've heard preachers give invitations, say it's like believing your car will start. You take the key out there and put it in ignition. Listen, the infidel has that kind of faith. The atheist has that kind of faith. That's not saving faith. Saving faith believes in the Son of God that you cannot see now, but you have a record hereof. That's what's called believing the gospel savingly. It becomes good news to you. You understand that? It's more than intellectual belief. It's more than a decision, a mental decision, that you decide you want to go to heaven when you die. See, that's the curve we've been through. Everybody, now, heaven's been made the major point of the gospel. Hell's been made the major point. But in the Bible, heaven and hell's not the major points. Christ and sin's the major points. Christ come down here to save us from our sins. If you don't want to get saved from sin, you can't go to heaven when you die. You've got to get saved from sin. He saves us from our sins. And according to Titus 2, he purifies unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now you're not saved by works, but you're not saved without works. You're saved unto good works. If there's salvation in your heart, there will be some fruit. It may not be a hundredfold of fruit, but there'll be some fruit in your life. If you have experienced the grace of God down inside, there'll be some fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. And we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We enjoy good works. I wish I could do as much good works as I'd like to do. I know I'm not saved by it. Good works don't impress God, but it might impress somebody else to get right with God by seeing our good works. And so, God didn't let them get by in Noah's day. God didn't let them get by in Lot's day. I don't know how long they got by. Probably got by a pretty good while, but God won't spare the wicked forever. The wicked shall be turned in hell with all nations and forget God. Just as sure as this nation forgets God, it'll be turned down hell. And there's a whole lot of hell on the top side of the earth, you know. Hell is torment and grief and agony and pain. There's a lot of hell on the top side of the earth. Homes tonight in America, all across America, and lives are wrecked and ruined and demonized because of sin. I think we're living in a day of demon possession. Don't you know these fellows that abuse these little babies is full of demons? That abuse these little babies, 3 and 6 months old babies, the devil has total control of them. Listen, they need a good dose of salvation that'll break the bondage of sin and demonism of their lives and be like that man was in Mark chapter 5. Next time you find him, they're clothed in the right mind and going home to their family and friends and tell them what great things the Lord's done for them. Amen. May God help us to see. God's not going to let it get by today either. The scripture, you can look at the scriptures through there. And if God didn't let them get by, he won't let America get by. Now let me just say this right here while you're listening good. The only way that we can have revival is to have God's people repenting. And that's what we don't like to do. You want me to preach a little right here? Somebody said, well, it's easy to get saved. You go jump in the lake if you tell me that. Hardest thing man ever does is turn from his own sin. If you tell me repentance is easy, I'll tell you you never have repented. Hardest thing a man ever does is give himself away and take sides with God against himself. If it was easy, as some people say it is, everybody done be saved. Reason we have to sing more invitation hymns and plead more with people is because man's rebellion is so great against the goodness of God, he wills not to come until God breaks his will. And God must take the hammer of his word and break a man's will. I know what people think. They say, well, don't you believe we've got a free will? I said, free to do what you want to, but not free to do what you ought to. See, man do what he wants to because he's got a free will. Can't do what he ought to because his will's in bondage to his depraved faculties. The reason these pews are empty tonight and the sinners not around Kingsport are not here is because they will not to be here. Amen. If they had a will that was free by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, they'd be here. See, Jesus said in John 8:31, if you give my word, then my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's not a salvation verse, that's a freedom verse. Amen. If you find out the truth, it sets you free to respond to the call of God. Amen. See, and whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed. When your will is freed by the truth, you respond to God in a positive way. He sets you free, amen, and sets you free from sin, the bondage of sin and Satan. I say praise his name. Amen. Hey, I feel the Spirit of God oppressing me. But listen, don't go off and tell somebody I preach, somebody didn't preach. Free willism has ruined us today. It's ruined us today to tell a poor old depraved hell-bent sinner out yonder that he's got a free will to do whatever God wants him to do. Now, why didn't the Bible preach that? You're begotten by the Word of God. The light must be shined in. If our gospel be hid, listen to it carefully. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid them that are lost. And it is hid to them that are lost. You know why? Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Their mind's blinded. They can't see it. It's hid from them. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and shine in our heart, give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When God shines the light in through the darkness, you find out who you are and who Jesus Christ is and who you must be by the grace of God. So when it's all said and done, we have to say, salvation's of the Lord. The only reason you come to him is because he come to you. The only reason you got saved because God dealt with your heart. Trust your will. The only reason you come to the cross is because he drew you. Amen. Yeah, already you repented. He dealt with your heart till you were sick of your sins. You took your place. Repentance is the work of God in your heart. Not going to a Baptist altar. It's God's grace touching your heart and crushing your will. Ain't that so? God wants me to preach that. You lay in the depths of repentance at the cross of the broken heart. Finding out who you are and the judgment you deserve and the hell you deserve. If you get what you deserve, that's where you will go. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, over the loves, even when we were dead in sin, has granted us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and raised us up together, made us set together, and have a place in Christ Jesus. He's rich in mercy. Mercy is God withholding from you what you deserve. Grace is God giving to you what you do not deserve. When it's all said and done, we have to say, salvation's of the Lord. Praise God. I'm happy about that. Search the scriptures and the Old Testament scriptures. Says that God will deliver the righteous. He delivered Enoch the days before the flood. Enoch walked with God 300 years and was not. In a day of gloom and wickedness and grief, all of a sudden Enoch was out of town. Walked with God 300 years. Went home to be with God. Hadn't gotten back yet. Going to stay all day with the Lord. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. God will. He delivered Noah. They probably said, I don't know, the Bible don't say. But they probably figured the ark wouldn't float. They probably figured it wasn't good enough. A lot of people say, well, I just don't think that you can get saved like you saved by grace through faith and have the Spirit of God down inside and be secure in Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you'll believe that. Listen, God got an ark. After Noah got it built, see, the record shows when God told Noah to prepare an ark, how big, how long, how wide, and how high, and so on. God didn't say anything else until God got in the ark and said to Noah, come in the ark. God's in Christ. That ark's the picture of our salvation in a sense. It's three stories. It's got one door. You get in, you got to go through that door, and God closes the door. And then the rain starts coming about 7 days later. Flood comes. The ark don't leak. Got a window above, one way to look up. Of course, doctrinally speaking, those eight souls are a picture of the nation of Israel going through the judgment time of the tribulation and winding up on earth that's cleaned up. That's what the Jewish nation's going to do. Now, Antichrist would kill them all tonight, Antichrist system, if they could. The only reason they haven't killed them over there already is because God won't let them. God made a promise back yonder, and God's going to fulfill his promise. We learn from the scripture that God is able to keep his promise. God promised to Abraham, made a covenant with Abraham, and told him, said, I'm going to give you all this land over here. And God gave Abraham all that land, and he passed it on to Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, and that's their land by covenant with God. That's why it's called a holy land. Holy land. There's part of this earth that's a holy land. A lot of people say, I don't think the Lord will ever come down back down here on this old earth. I said, what do you got against the Lord taking over his earth? After all, Psalm 24 said, the earth of the Lord is the fullest thereof. One fellow said, I own this big farm. I said, oh, you do? Can you take it with you when you die? He said, no. I said, then you don't own it. If you don't pay them uptown, the tax receivers, if you don't pay them, you'll find how long you do own it. You know what you're doing? You're paying them to use it a while. The earth is the Lord's. Now, if he lets you use a little of it, 1,000 acres, 10,000, whatever he lets you use it and be happy. But the only thing you own is what you can take with you when you die. And that's your soul. Man, gain the whole world, lose his own soul. What would he give in exchange? The only thing that you're going to take out of here is your soul. That's why you need to get your soul prepared. Now, I know a lot of people ask a lot of questions you can't answer. They say, what is the soul? A fellow asked me that not long ago. I said, you been to a funeral? He said, yes. I said, you go around and look at the corpse? He said, yes. I said, the part's not there. The part that's gone. Read Genesis 35. When the man's wife died, her soul departed. So, that's why Jesus talks so strong about the soul. The soul lives on. He breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. That's a part of God. It was breathed in there. The life of God is breathed in there. When Adam sinned, that spirit died toward God only. Got to drive that home now. That's why he's talking about you being dead in sin, trespassing in sin. The spirit's all that died toward God. Very much alive toward the world, socially, morally, every other way. The spirit, the man's much alive the other way, the sinner is, but he's dead toward God. He don't have any desire for God. His spirit died toward God. No desire, no inclination toward God. He's totally ruined in his sins. That's why it takes a miracle to get born again. When you get made anew, he quickens the spirit and saves the soul. Circumcises the inside, rules the body dead. Now you got an inward man inside. And Colossians 1:27 says, the risen of this mystery is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. So Christ is in you if you're saved in your spirit. And you cut loose from the outer man because the body's dead because of sin, the spirit's life because of blindness. That's called a birth. A new birth. And it's a miracle. New birth's a miracle. It says the wind blows. Wind's a miracle. You can't command the wind to blow. You can't stop it from blowing. The wind's sovereign in its action. You could get where it might blow. You could get in a good old time church where they're having good Holy Ghost meetings and the wind might blow. If the wind blows, you might be there when the wind blows. Jesus said, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. One fellow said, well, you can't feel salvation. I said, you ought to say, as far as you know, you can't. Sure, you can feel salvation. You can't feel justification, but you can feel regeneration. Justification is what God does in heaven. Regeneration is what God does in your heart to let you know He's done something for you in heaven. If He didn't give you the Spirit in your heart, you wouldn't know He'd done anything up there. The only reason we know our names in heaven is because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ain't that right? You don't know your name written up there because I tell you. Or some other preacher tells you that now your name's in heaven. No such statement as that in the Bible. You find that out from God. We know that we're saved because God lets us know in our heart that we're saved. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. That's what the book says. So it's a birth, new birth. You're standing right with me right there, Eugene. God promised Abraham, going to bless all nations through him. Made a promise, he's going to send his son down here. And Jesus was the son of Abraham, and the son of David, and the son of God. What do you think about that? That's Matthew 1:21. See, the beginning of the gospel, generation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, he's heir to the throne of David, and he's heir to the covenant God made with Abraham. That's why he's the son of David, son of Abraham. Goes back to the covenant God gave Abraham. And God told Abraham, said, I'm going to bless all everybody in the world on account of you. Through you. In other words, through your loins. So Jesus is the son of Abraham, naturally born of a Jewish virgin. See, Abraham's the first Jew, but he's a Gentile before he was a Jew. He's called out of heathen idolatry. God was looking for him. He wasn't looking for God. You know, God can do whatever he wants to, can't he? He went over and got Abraham and said, Abraham, and when Abraham was called to go out, by faith he came out. Went into a land and didn't know where he was going, what he was going to inherit. He just done it because God said to him. God chose him and made a covenant with him. A covenant is an agreement. Agreement. That's what salvation is. It's a covenant. See, you go all the way back. I don't have time to preach on it. There's an everlasting covenant back yonder. Covenant of mercy before the foundation of the world. Called the everlasting covenant. That's an agreement. God wasn't looking for no Savior. He had a Savior before there's ever a sinner. Jesus was marked out from before the foundation of the world in the covenant of mercy. He agreed back there and signed our pardon back there and agreed to come down here in time, right on time, and go to the cross right on time. It was his cross, a personal cross, a predestinated cross. And he went there on time and shed his blood to seal that covenant with his own blood. And that's what talks about the blood redemption. Blood redemption's in Christ. All them animal sacrifices through there, they didn't take away sins and make the comers there too perfect. There was pictures of the perfect Lamb that was coming. He did come. I say, praise his name. Come down here. God promised him. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. A virgin. His name's going to be called Emmanuel. That means God with us. And Isaiah said, the government's going to be on his shoulder. Name be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In other words, God comes down in the body form. Since God's the Spirit, God's the Spirit, Christ is the body form of God. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We find by searching the Scriptures, He's able to perform what He promised. Promised Sarah and Abraham a child when she is 90 and Abraham is 100. Impossibility, but God perform what he promised. Amen. Promised the Savior, send him down here when the time come. Yeah. Went upon the cross, died there in shame and disgrace before sin loving, God hating world. Christ died upon the cross. Yeah. Was made to be sin for us. Buried in Joseph's new tomb. 3 days and 3 nights later, resurrected, just like he said he would. Yeah. 40 days after his resurrection, went back to heaven. Sit down on the right hand of God. We got a promise now. He's coming again. Amen. He hasn't come yet, but he's going to come. Amen. Somebody said, well, are you happy? Well, one fellow said to me the other day, he said, you having a good day? I said, every day is a good day. Did you ever try missing one? Every day is a good day. I've missed a few. I didn't miss them. I thought I'd miss them. I didn't know I was in the world. So if you're alive and able to get up, it's a good day. Yeah. I heard a fellow quote the other day, or thought he was quoting, this is the day the Lord's made. Some people get up on Sunday morning quote that. But that's a messianic psalm talking about the crucifixion day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad. He made the day of the crucifixion, and Christ our Passover was sacrificed us on that day, and we rejoice in that day. That's the day the Lord made. Of course, the Lord made all days, so it's okay to use that way. But God promised to save sinners through Jesus Christ. There's just one way of salvation. And you know what breaks my heart now in this world, in this society? It breaks my heart because the world's drunk on religion. And you can read over there in the last part of the tribulation period, the great harlot of Revelation 17 is going to make the world drunk on the wine, the wrath of her fornication. In other words, the whole world now is drunk on religion. That means they're intoxicated on religion. You know, you got the Islamic religion, Roman Catholic religion, Protestant religion, Reform religion. But you see, we're not Protestants. Baptists never have been Protestants. We wasn't in Rome to start with. We wasn't in there to come out. So we didn't come out of Rome. Our church didn't start in Rome. Who ever heard of a pope all of a sudden getting infallible because a bunch of cardinals sends up a smoke signal? And all of a sudden says this old reprobate, this old sin-cursed reprobate, all of a sudden becomes infallible? Who ever heard of such as that? The Bible knows nothing about that. And there's over a billion people in the world now that's so blinded by that Roman Catholic stuff that they don't know the difference. Someone said, well, you're not supposed to judge. I'm not judging. I'm a preaching. I'm told to preach Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The Pope's not the way. The Cardinal's not the way. The church is not the way. Baptism and preaching is not the way. Jesus Christ is the way. If you miss him, you go to hell when you die. That's just the way it is. I'm not mad at nobody but the devil, but I got to throw off on that religion. Religion's the shortest route to hell. You get religion, you can't already get saved. Religion will bind you up. You'll be a bond slave to your religion. That's what Saul of Tarsus was before he got saved. He thought he was doing right. Or is that Islamic religion? All that stuff, what is it, a billion and a fourth, I think, billion, a million, a billion and a fourth of a billion, 250 million, same way the Catholics. Think about that. Drunk on religion. They don't know they're not supposed to kill people. They're following a false prophet, a satanic inspired false prophet that told them they're supposed to kill everybody else besides their own. They think they're doing the right thing. They don't know the difference. And we got leaders up here in Washington. They don't know the difference. They call them extreme Muslims. All of them's extreme Muslims. No such thing as an extremist in the Muslims. They're all extreme. They all follow the Quran. The Quran tells them to kill everybody that disagrees with them. They're all extreme. You couldn't be enough not being extreme. And you know, if you believe in the Pope, you believe in Roman Catholic theology, you're an extremist. That's right. Anybody ought to know better than that. I mean, if you know how to get home out of a bad rainstorm, you ought to know better than that. I knew better than that before I ever got saved, and I didn't know nothing. But I knew that I did believe that much. Them old preachers, they put it in their mind at least, didn't get in their heart. But they preached Jesus Christ so strong that you knew there wasn't no other way. They preached repentance and faith and being born again. So you knew that must happen. You couldn't do it for yourself, but you knew that must be the way it is. Amen. And I'm glad I experienced that, aren't you? Listen, God's got power to keep his promises. You can put it down now. He's promised. Everybody's got to come to judgment. You don't have no say in that. Everybody's got to come to judgment. Everybody's giving account for themselves to God. I don't have to answer for you, and you don't have to answer for me. We're told in this Bible to be diligent to give, make our calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. So we need to find out if we're a child of God. No, we can find it out from God. You need to find out and know beyond any doubt that you know that you're a child of God by the new birth, by being redeemed by the blood. You need to know that. Amen. He's promised Jesus is coming back. He promised he's coming back again. Amen. Yet a little while, he that shall come, will not tarry. I don't know when. Now, I don't think it's probably not going to be the next second. You probably fall out with me if I tell you what I really believe. But let me just say this. I used to hear a good preacher. He's dead and gone now. A lot better preacher than me. And he used to say on the radio that Jesus might come back the next split second. I didn't believe that then, and I don't believe it now. Everything's got to be right. The stage's got to be set for the Antichrist. Rural conditions got to be right. Somebody said, wouldn't you thought the Lord already come? I said, no. He won't come till everything's right. When it's right, he'll come back. Everything's got to be fixed. Just like the Lord. The Lord, listen, he moved a wicked king in the days of the birth of Jesus Christ to get Joseph and Mary to the exact place, the exact time, for the exact purpose to bring Jesus into the world. Yeah, he was here right on time when the fullness of the time was come. See, God's got a big time clock running. Israel is God's time clock for the dispensations. God dealing with the earth. The nation of Israel is God's time clock in dealing with the earth. So when the church is finished up, about the time we go out, he's dealing with Israel. He's going to have everything in place. They've been that now blindness in parts happened to them to the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So now the church age is running its course. When it runs its course, the Lord comes as a bridegroom. And I'm just about through preaching, but I'm out here now and I got to get back. So look here. When Jesus comes for the church, there's no angels connected with his coming for the church. The church is a virtuous bride, a spouse to one husband. So when he descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ rise first, the living saints are changed. We won't prevent them to sleep, but the church goes out. That finishes up this dispensation. And God deals then with the nation of Israel. And that's why Jerusalem is a stumbling stone now. So what's happening, the stage is being set now for the tribulation time. And that's why I've been saying for 50 years, and I say this carefully, the Antichrist cannot reign in Jerusalem in the Middle East as long as America is a superpower in the West. So what's got to happen prophecy-wise, America's got to go down in order for Antichrist to come up. And he'll come out of the revived Roman Empire. Antichrist will. Rome was in a charge when Jesus was down here the first time. And the European common market, which is a revived version of the Roman Empire, is being charged when he comes the second time. And Antichrist is going to rule and reign. Satan's going to give him his seat and his power and great authority. And the world have never seen anything or experienced anything what it's coming to pretty quick. See, we're victims of the time. That's the reason the church is in the state they're in. We're in the Laodicean age. We've been spewed out. Will you take it? Will you take it? Compared to what the churches was 75 years ago. You know when we got spewed out? When we got rich. We got rich and increased with goods. Laodicean church have need of nothing. The only time most people come to church is when they don't have anything else to do. I've been preaching revivals almost 51 years. And you can have a meeting if folks don't have ball games or horse races or something to go to. But if their kids is playing ball or something's going on, they're going to go there before they go to church. That's a general statement. That's not everyone, but most people are. They're too wrapped up. We got too many legitimate things that will be okay in their rightful place, but they have control of us now. And we've got rich and don't have time to pray, don't have time to study the Bible, don't have time to be holy, don't have time to do nothing. What we're doing is just cruising along. We're victims of the time. The reason we can't have a nice revival because we can't have nice repentance. See, and I'm through preaching. See, when that Revolutionary War started, you know, they first got to liberty, you know what they done? They called for a day of fasting and prayer. And even George Washington, all of them went to a day of fasting and prayer. Try a day of fasting and prayer now at the Baptist churches and see how many come. Just one day of fasting and prayer. Our main purpose now and our main way is someplace to eat. Eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. I'm not fussing on you, I'm just saying we're victims of the time. Amen. Now, there can be an individual revival, be an individual salvation, but I don't know. Sometimes I think the country's probably gone too far. Too far. They have no ear for hearing. And you go so far and God just turns you loose that you go on. But individually, He said, you can come. You can get saved from the untoward generation. You can get saved if God speaks to your heart, you can. How many folks are here tonight? How many folks are here? I mean, Jesus may call for you tonight. He may call for me tonight. You got it all settled with Him. You know you're His child. Can you go back to that place where the Lord made you a new creature? Old things passed away. All things become new in your life. You got a desire to be holy like Him. If not, today is the day of salvation for you. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Brother Ralph's coming tonight for the song. Father, we pray to you to honor the word of God we've tried to set forth tonight. Seal up in hearts, Lord. Deal with us, Lord. Break our hearts as Christians. Lord, Christians need to pray. Oh God, we all need to pray and draw near to you.